Hi, and welcome to the Cutaneous Connection, a podcast from the staff at Dermatology Times, aiming to provide you with the latest updates in dermatology, to exclusive interviews with leading industry experts, and a glimpse at what goes on behind the scenes. I'm your host, Morgan Petronelli. Today, we're discussing the residency match process, including how the entire process works, tips on what to do and what not to do, questions you should ask yourself, and what to do in the instance that you don't match. Let's dive right in. Today I have joining me Dr. Jay Wolford, North Texas Regional President of U.S. Dermatology Partners and Fellow of the American Academy of Dermatology. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. So my first question I want to start off with, especially for those who might be in med school and, you know, entering this whole kind of process, can you explain the match process for those interested?
Yes. So the match process is basically a construct created to place fourth year medical students in their residency program at the end of their medical training. And basically how it works is starting out in fourth year, you start applying to programs in your chosen specialty. There's application process that's pretty standardized across all residency programs in the country. Some programs have extra requirements that you have to meet for their application process. But basically, you compile all your information from your medical school grades, letters of recommendation, test scores, and possibly even an essay, an application essay, and you send it into all the programs you want to apply to. And then when the deadline passes for applications, a few months go by, and you'll start receiving offers to come interview. And not all these interview offers come at the same time. They kind of trickle in over the period of a few months, kind of midway through the fourth year. And once you receive these offers, you start scheduling the interviews. You then go on interviews to different programs that you're potentially interested in to meet and see the program, meet the people there. And then at the end of that process, when interviews are completed, you compile a list of the programs that you want to match into or where you want to do your residency from top choice all the way through as many as you want to rank. The programs make a similar list where they rank their preferred candidates from one all the way to the bottom. And then a computer algorithm somehow magically puts everyone together theoretically in a way that ideally matches programs and applicants to their top choices. And then around March, April of your fourth year, there's match day, which involves you getting together with all your medical school classmates in a room. Everyone gets an envelope and you open up your envelope and find out where you're going to be spending the next, you know, 1 to 7 years of your life.
Yeah, that's definitely, you know, a very long process for, you know, something that's, you know, very important for these doctors, especially to take the next step into, you know, actually becoming, you know, board certified and everything like that. So my next question is, you know, what is your experience during the match process?
My experience was pretty good. You know, it's a stressful time because, you know, it is kind of in a way determining at least your short-term future, but possibly your entire career. Mine was similar. I applied in my specialty of dermatology. I basically applied to almost every program in the country. Lots of time spent writing application essays, paying application fees, sending all that in. And then when interview time rolled around, there's that, you know, couple month time frame where you're trying to, you know, you still have your medical school duties, your fourth year clinical duties. And so you still have obligations there, but you're also trying to get to as many interviews as you possibly can. So it's kind of a whirlwind couple of months traveling, sometimes far distances for very short periods, just a day at a time to do these interviews. And then after you finish that, you have the tough decision of deciding how you're going to rank programs. In my personal experience, there were many very, very good programs that I could have seen myself very happy training at. And so it was a tough decision. Ultimately, you know, I made my rank list and submitted it. And at that point, it's kind of just a waiting game until match day rolls around. And the closer it gets, the more nervous you get. And finally, it all kind of culminates on that day and worked out for me. I ended up getting my top choice and was very happy with that choice. Had a great experience during my training. So I had a good experience with it, but it definitely was, you know, stressful and exciting during the actual process.
That's great to hear. So my next question is, you know, what would you say are your top questions to ask during the interview process?
Yeah, I think there's the most important kind of question to ask yourself before you start the interview process is what's really important to you. What do you want out of a training program? And then you kind of tailor your questions to that. You know, for me personally, I wanted a program that was going to set me up to be an autonomous provider in private practice after my training. I knew that going in. And so I asked a lot of questions about how much autonomy does the program allow you in the later part of your residency? How much does the supervision kind of scale back and allow you to make your own decisions and manage your own patients? So autonomy in the later part of my residency training was something that was important. So I asked about that. A lot of people are interested in doing clinical research or even basic science research. And so it's definitely worthwhile to ask about how the research program within any institution works to get an idea if that's one of your interests. Specialty clinics is another important thing to ask about. If you have a specific area of interest, whether it's the surgical side or for me in dermatology, if you had an interest in cosmetics or a certain disease state like eczema or psoriasis, a lot of times it's good to ask about specialty clinics within the residency program. And that can apply to any specialty, not just dermatology. And then if you're somebody who's interested in leadership or possibly being a leader within your field, whether it's a local medical society or just within your own specialty medical society, you can ask about opportunities for resident leadership positions to kind of start that process. If you think you're going to go into private practice or are pretty certain you might consider that option, asking about, you know, the practice management part of the education at the residency program. I think most residency, if not all residency programs in the country, are going to give you a really good medical education, but not all necessarily teach you aspects of practice management, business management, things like that. And some programs do. And if that's something you're interested in, it's important to ask that beforehand.
So, you know, my next question here is, what should, you know, up and coming derms be asking themselves during this whole process to ensure a right fit?
I think, again, it's really important to know what you really want to do after residency, what kind of practice or career you want to have. And if you don't know, then it's good to know that as well. You know, asking important questions about where you see yourself long term, and then, you know, 5 years after residency, 10 years or even beyond that, you know, where do you want to live? What kind of practice style do you want to be in? Knowing about that beforehand will help kind of tailor the questions you ask and help with your analysis at looking at different programs.
In, you know, off of that, what I've seen a lot lately, like I was on my phone a couple of minutes ago, like before this interview, you know, I'm seeing people posting all their matches this week. Oh, you know, I matched. I don't know who it's with yet. I'll find out on Friday. And then on the other end, we have people saying like, this is the worst day of my life. I didn't match. So, you know, what would your advice be for, you know, what happens when you don't match? You know, what is your advice to those individuals moving forward, you know, to make them kind of feel like, no, this is not the end of the road. You know, you can still continue on, you know, there's hope. What would you say to them?
Yes, I mean, there are people that don't match in the initial go around through the match process. And when that happens, I'm sure it can be, you know, concerning and stressful. And my advice to people that are in that position is not to be defeated, to just keep pursuing what you want to do. It may just be a matter of interviewing or doing rotations at different programs before the next match cycle to get to know them on a one-on-one basis. It might be taking a year off to do research to kind of improve the strength of your application. There's multiple different things that you can do to help you the next go around. I definitely think one of the most important things with making the decision and matching, not just in the first go around, but in subsequent go arounds, if you're doing the match a second time, is try to take time to do away rotations at the programs you're interested in. If they get to know you and they're comfortable with you, that becomes the most important thing in their decision, I believe. And then any potential weaknesses in the rest of your application can fall away. And so that can really help increase your chances of matching at a program.
I think those are some great tips. And my last question I have here for you is, you know, do you have any tips on what to do and what not to do during the match process?
Yes, looking back, I would say my biggest advice on what not to do is something that I definitely did, but I think it's not helpful. And there's all these forums online where you can get online and see when certain programs are sending out interview requests or interview offers after the application deadline has passed. And I remember checking it 20, 30 times a day, constantly seeing which program have people received interviews from. Is that the only round of interviews they're sending? Are there more coming? And just really getting caught up in that game. And looking back, I don't think it was helpful. It just added unnecessary stress. You're never going to be able to predict how different programs actually extend interview offers. Maybe they do it all at once. Maybe there's a rolling interview process. You just don't know. And so I don't think it's helpful to get into that part of the match process. And it's difficult not to because everyone else is doing it. But ultimately, I think it leads to unneeded stress.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today.
For more Dermatology Times content, from articles and videos to podcasts, you can visit www.dermatologytimes.com.